Welcome to Monday's Messages, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. We're looking at timeless truths of Revelation. Even though the book of Revelation was written almost 2,000 years ago, it has truths that are practical and relevant for Christians today. So take your Bible and join me as we look at timeless truths of Revelation.
All right, welcome to our study tonight as we conclude the timeless truths of Revelation. We're going to be looking at the Beatitudes of Revelation. How many of you knew Revelation had its Beatitudes? Are you all familiar with the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes listed there? Well, I want you to know Revelation has seven Beatitudes as well. As you know, each of the Beatitudes in Matthew begins with blessed or fortunate, much to be envied, happy are those. And if you want to be blessed, you're going to see seven ways you can be blessed tonight. What we see is the formula of blessed. It gives the blessing and then it tells the condition that you as a believer need to do in order to have that blessing, to be very fortunate. Our first one is found over in chapter 1 of Revelation, and we'll be running through the book as we look at these. But the first one is found in verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Blessed is the one who reads, who hears, and who heeds the teachings of this book. You may remember that many times on Sunday when I finish reading the scriptures, I'll say, may the Lord bless the reading and the hearing and most of all, the obeying of His Word. And that's what we're seeing here. Blessed he who reads, he who hears, and heeds the things which are written in it. So if you desire to be blessed, then spend time reading the book of Revelation, hearing the words of the prophecy, and obeying the Word. Obedience is the pathway to God's blessing in the lives of His children. Jesus says, those who keep His commandments, the Father will disclose Himself to them. You want a deeper walk with Jesus? You want a deeper walk with the Father? Live in obedience to His Word. Faith and obedience are just two sides of the same coin. You cannot have true biblical faith without having obedience. To say you believe and do not respond in obedience, you don't really believe. You don't have a true faith, not a true saving faith. There are many different kinds of faith. There's a faith that only leads to hell. There's a faith that demons have and they shudder. But the faith that leads to heaven is a faith that is coupled with obedience. In fact, Paul in Romans talks about the obedience of faith as he talks about the faith of the Romans there. So the first beatitude, blessed are those who read, who hear, and who heed, who do. Now it's interesting, in the Greek language, the word for obedience has the word hear within it. The actual literal rendering of obedience, the word obedient in the Greek, is to hear from under, to hear from underneath. And the idea is that you hear the one in authority speak, and therefore you do it. You obey. And so obedience is tied in with hearing, and hearing with obeying. It doesn't do you any good to hear the Word of God and not obey it. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 7. You remember when he talked about the foolish man that builds his house on the sand is like the man who hears the word but does not obey it, does not do it. In fact, you actually bring more judgment and condemnation on yourself if you hear the word and fail to obey it than if you haven't heard it at all. Jesus said to him that has much, much is expected. To the servant that knew what was expected and he did not do it, he received greater punishment than the servant that was not aware and did not do it. That's the first beatitude. Second beatitude is found in chapter 14, in verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Blessed, fortunate, happy, greatly to be envied are those who die in the Lord. Now, you and I must never forget the blessing of death for the Christian. I have said, and maybe you've heard me say it, the best day of your life is going to be the day you die, if you're a Christian. I mean, it is the absolute best, because it is that day that you're going into the presence of God. Amen. Now, we who are left behind fail to realize this many times, because we're caught up with the grief and the missing and the emptiness, but I think it helps temper our grief, and I think that's what it means when the Scripture says we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. Because it's really the best day of the life. And it's going to be the best day of your life as a Christian when you go to heaven. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, those who are Christians. And we have seen in our study of Revelation how indeed this is true, that at the moment of death, God's children go to be with Him in paradise. It is a glorious communion and fellowship with Him. There is a sense of rest. There is a sense of contentment. And there with the Lord awaiting the great day of our resurrection, the day that these old bodies will come forth from this grave, perfected, glorified, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown in mortality, raised in immortality. And you heard me say, don't worry, it's not going to be the same old body you're carrying around now. Because you think if I had to carry this one around through eternity, wow, it's going to be a perfect body. Amen. It will be the best you have ever been, and even better than that. So everybody be ball-headed, and we'll all be perfect. Y'all just can look forward to the day. All right, here we go. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Now, the question is, are you in the Lord? If you're listening to my voice, either on the internet or on the CD or right here, the question is, are you in the Lord? You'll only be blessed in death if you die in the Lord. Only those who are Christians will experience the blessing at death. Some of you listening to my voice may have sat in churches, may have heard the gospel preached many times, but you've never come to a place that you have surrendered to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may have been thinking, well, one day, one day, one day. We don't know that we have one day left. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, the Scripture says. Don't wait one day. Because not one single blessing of this book will be yours if you are not in Christ Jesus. If you've not been washed with His precious blood. But if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and God, the Lord Jesus, has become your kinsman redeemer, then you can indeed know that when that day comes, that God calls you home, it'll be the best day of your life. Bar none. Amen. And when you get in the presence of Jesus, you're going to be so caught up in His presence that nothing you left behind is going to even be able to cast a dim shadow compared to the glory. How many of you see doorbell lights in the daytime? You know, you can walk down the street during the daytime and you don't see a doorbell light because the sun is so much brighter. Now, at night, you see those little doorbell lights everywhere, don't you? Let me tell you, all the things you left back here are like a doorbell light compared at noonday, brightest sun can be compared to the glory of being in the presence of Jesus. You're going to be caught up with Jesus, and that is going to be so much better. Third beatitude is found in chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked, and men will not see his shame. Now, Jesus is speaking here, and he's saying, blessed is a Christian who keeps his house in order at all times. To stay awake means to keep alert spiritually. To continue diligently in the work of the Lord, realizing that his return is near. Now, you and I don't know when he's going to return. Now, he either returns when he comes back, or he returns when you die. You know what I mean? So he could return for you tonight if this is the night you die. So you can't wait and say, well, preacher, you know, you said we got to go through the tribulation first. So I know I got at least 7 years because we hadn't started that. So I'll just wait right here and lays up a little bit, and then when we get closer, I'll get busy about the work of the Lord. Jesus told a story about that, a parable in Matthew 24. He said, a master went away and he put his slave in charge of giving out food. But the slave said to himself, he's going to be gone a long time. So I'm just going to take it easy. I'm not going to do all that. And right before he comes back, I'll kick in gear and then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And then he comes back, he sees me doing it. Jesus says, blessed is the slave who is doing so when his master returns. He said, the evil slave thinks he can live as he wishes, and the master will not know the difference. Because you don't know when the master's going to return. As Christians, sometimes we tend to get lazy in the Lord's work. We get weary. We get callous. We get careless. We always think we can straighten up later. We can get back to the Lord's work later. When I have more time, when things are not so hectic at work, when I'm not going through so many things at home. But we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when we're going to die and we're going to meet him. The prophet Isaiah went to King Hezekiah one day and he told him, set your house in order. Set your house in order. You're going to die. If we knew that was going to happen to us, and we could wait until God sent a prophet to say, set your house in order, Mark, you're going to die. But we don't have that luxury. We don't know when we're going to die. We've got to live with our house in order. That means we've got to maintain a close walk with the Lord. That means we've got to maintain our service to the Lord. We have a ministry fair this Sunday. If you're not involved in a ministry, this is your opportunity to get involved because God's called us to serve him. And we need to be about that service, about that ministry, because we don't know when he's coming back. And when he does come back, you don't want to be found to be naked, not working, not having on your work clothes, but being there laying around naked, lazy. You're going to be embarrassed, aren't you? There you go. Don't want to be naked on that day. You want to be clothed with the work clothes on, doing about the ministry of the Lord. And then the fourth beatitude is found in chapter 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Oh, what a great day. It will be when the Lamb of God receives his bride, when we, the church, are wedded to Jesus. We'll be the Queen of Heaven, married to the King of Eternity. We shall participate in that great wedding feast. As I've told you, all of history is moving toward this glorious event. God is about saving a bride and providing a bride for his Son Jesus. That's why he has saved us. That's why he has redeemed us, so that that day comes that we'll be wedded, joined to our Lord Jesus, and rule and reign with him throughout eternity. Therefore, blessed are those who are invited. We'll be invited as the bride. Now, only those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are going to be invited. Only those who respond to God's invitation to salvation while in this life. There's no second chance. No second chance at all. That's the devil's lie, that you're going to get a second chance after you die. Reincarnation is a lie of the devil, making people think, well, if you don't get it right this time, you can try it the next time. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once. How many? Once to die. And then? the judgment. Amen. So you get it right this time. By the grace of God, you accept the invitation of Christ to come unto Him, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you refreshment. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Him today. Call on Him and receive that gift of salvation that He gives, and then you will receive that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So He's just going to open that book of life, and He said, everybody whose name's in here is going to get an invitation. If your name's not in this book, you're not going to get an invitation. Make sure your name's in the book of life. And then we have the fifth beatitude in chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Blessed will be those who take part in the first resurrection. Now, we have seen that there are two resurrections separated by 1,000 years. Remember? The resurrection of the righteous is the first resurrection that comes about when Jesus returns and sets up His 1,000-year kingdom here on earth. And then after that 1,000-year kingdom, there's going to be the resurrection of the wicked. That's the second resurrection. And then you're going to have the great white throne of judgment. Now, you're blessed if you're part of that first resurrection. You are cursed. Literally, you are damned if you are a part of that second resurrection. And so, blessed, fortunate, much to be envied is that person who's a part of the first resurrection, because what? The second death has no power. Second death, spiritual death. First death, physical death. Second death, spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. In the agony, the pain, the suffering of hell. But those who are part of the first resurrection, it can't touch us because we don't die. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm born twice. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to die but once. And I hope you have been born twice so you won't have to die but once. Hallelujah. All right. Sixth Beatitude, chapter 22, verse 7. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Jesus again is speaking. This is a re-emphasis of the first one. Blessed is the one who heeds, who obeys the prophecies of this book, who believes that the reality of hell and he lives accordingly, who realizes that God is sovereign and He is working out His plan in all events of human history, and therefore who trusts God and walks with God and believes in God, who heeds the words, who listens, who lives according to the truths of this book. Now, we've been looking at this book for a year or more. First, we saw truth about end times, and now we've seen the glorious eternal truths of Revelation, the timeless truths. But you need to be living these truths. You need to be a living expression of the truths that you have heard, taught, and you've read in this book. If so, you'll be blessed. And then the seventh and final beatitude is found in verse 14 of the same chapter. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Robes are a symbolic way of speaking of our unrighteousness. But our robes have been washed. Guess what they've been washed in? Amen. The blood of Jesus. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. Our robes have been washed in the blood of Christ. We are clothed in His righteousness, those old filthy rags. The best we can do is nothing but a filthy rag in the sight of a holy God. But when He washes us, we have that perfect covering of the righteousness of Christ. We have been washed in the Lord Jesus. He has cleansed us totally, completely, absolutely. We say, Lord, my self-righteousness is as filth in Your sight. I throw my self-righteousness at Your feet, and I ask You to cleanse me through the blood, Your precious blood, slain for me, spilt for me. He who knew no sin was made to become sin on our behalf, that we might have the righteousness of God in Him. Blessed is the one whose robe has been washed, because that means you have the righteousness of God, and with the righteous holiness of God, you can enter into His holy presence, and you can partake of that tree of life that we saw is eternal life. And you can eat from the tree of that life because you're in heaven, because you are clothed in His righteousness. You're righteous as He is righteous. Not because we have earned it. Mm-mm. Not because we deserve it. Mm-mm. But because of His gracious death for us. He took it away, our sin, that we might have His righteousness. Blessed, blessed are those whose sins have been washed away. You know, the psalmist says, blessed is a man whose iniquities the Lord does not count against him. People say, how you doing? What I say? Blessed. Because my sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. And that's the case. You are blessed. I don't care what's going on in your life. Because your sins are forgiven, you are blessed. I mean, everything else could be going wrong in your life. But let me tell you, the fact that your sins are forgiven, you're blessed. Because that means it may be hard here, but you've got an eternity of eternal bliss waiting on you. And this life is just what? A vapor. A wisp. Just that little vapor coming out of that teapot. There and gone. Compared to eternity. So there we have it. The seven Beatitudes of Revelation. That concludes our study for tonight.